on all political subjects and taking on all callers, this is Matt Flynn Direct with your host, Matt Flynn.
Snarly, gotta cut you down. Go tell that long.
Welcome back to the second hour of Matt Flynn Direct, coming to you in Madison on Devil Radio 92.7 FM and WTTN 1580 AM. And in Waukesha on the Shaw, 101 FM and WAUK 540 AM. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. No subject is off limits and all points of view are welcome. Remember, you're not woke if you don't know history. You're not woke unless and until you know history. Going right back to the front lines of history in the making. And this time we're going to go to Madison, Wisconsin. Judge Valerie Bailey Wren, good judge whom I know, has issued a decision in the Gableman-Voss case. You know, I don't know why I continue to have to even utter the name Gableman. Horses whinny in the stables whenever I say Gableman, but we have to mention him now. These were cases, there's three of them still pending, by the way, in which we're paying legal fees, taxpayers, but this particular one had to do with open records. Gableman routinely, apparently, destroyed records. And even when they were subject to open records requests, said, well, probably not important. The guy apparently operated without writing. I mean, you know, there was an empire, the Incas. This goes back, I don't know, 1,000, 1,500 years. The Incas conducted an empire in South America, Peru and that area. And it was a fairly complex empire, and they did not have writing. They hadn't invented writing, hadn't heard about writing. But that's a very, very weak defense. For instance, when a company tries to explain to the SEC why they have no records of their securities fraud. I'll give you an example. You can't just say, well, the Incas did it. Well, yeah, the Incas did it 1,500 years ago. Look. Well, Gableman apparently did it. He was able to bill, you know, it's over $1 million in taxpayer money, and he did it without writing. What's going on here? Well, Val Bailey Wren didn't fall for that. And she said that he did all these things, and there was no election fraud. He himself has said that there's nothing there. And she said, he violated the open records laws and awarded $98,000. This just came in legal fees to American Oversight, which is a reform group that brought the action to get the documents that disappeared. They vamoosed. They vamoosed. Sort of like what Trump did. Trump actually ate one or two. Somebody walked by his office and said he'd munch on them like it was a small piece of paper. Munch on it. Some he flushed down the toilet, and the rest he stole and took to Mar-a-Lago. These are secret documents, and somehow what? We haven't gotten them back, and they're going after Hillary Clinton on using her server for emails, and Trump actually steals the documents and takes them down there. Well, in this case, Gableman, they just disappeared. 98 grand. And American Oversight asked for punitive damages. Now, the law on punitive damages, after it was a case involving Mercedes-Benz down in Alabama, the U.S. Supreme Court said, well, punitive damages have to have some relation to actual damages. So if there's 98 grand in legal fees, you can't give 98 billion in punitive damages, but some multiplier of 98 grand you should be able to. Maybe 1, 2, 3 multiplier of 98 grand. But Val Bailey Wren said, look, in this case, Gableman and Voss are having the taxpayers pay my award of legal fees to you. So it wouldn't be right to assess punitive damages as well if the taxpayers are going to pay for it. Now, a judge can order that the taxpayers not pay for it, and it has to come out of Voss and Gableman personally. She did not do that. She's a good judge. I defer to her on that. And she may have thought, well, 98 grand's a lot of money, and it's legal fees. And if they have the taxpayer pay the other in contravention of my order, we'll have another trial. And the taxpayers will pay for that, too. So let's cut this thing off. And I think that's what she probably did. But Voss says, that's fine. The taxpayers will pay the 98 grand. It was 98 grand. I mean, really? Did you pay 98 grand in state income taxes last year? Have you paid 98 grand in state income taxes your entire life? Do you know anybody who paid 98 grand in state taxes last year? That just went out the window in legal fees to this oversight reform group because Gableman and Voss had deep sex records. They've already billed over $1 million to look for something that isn't there. And they didn't even look very hard. You remember initially, and by the way, there are three more cases pending. And Voss and Gableman are still trying to throw the mayor of Madison and Green Bay in jail. I think they were afraid to throw the mayor of Milwaukee in jail when it was Tom Barrett. And now Cavalier Johnson is getting very high marks for good performance. And they don't want to look bad politically. But they figure, yeah, Green Bay, Madison, what the hell, throw them in jail. You're paying for that. You're paying for the attempt to throw it in jail. You're paying 98 grand, which was a penalty. That was the penalty because they deep six records. The three more cases you're paying for. You're paying for the defense to ethics charges, or ethics complaints, I should say, against Gableman for mocking the judge and a female opposing counsel. Why are we doing this? Why are we doing this? 98 grand's a lot of money. $1 million is a lot of money. 2 million's even more money. Originally, the deal was he was going to get 44 grand, Gableman, then 676. Now there's no limit to it. It's going to go beyond this election. Voss did this. The gerrymandered legislature did this. Going to the lines, Mark from the SAC, my friend. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind today, Mark?
Well, if they tried to pull this, they tried to use Inca as an example of not having a written language. Well, they had their system of knots, which is actually kind of some kind of record-keeping system. And actually, apparently, a storytelling system as well. That because if you got a bundle of goods from the Inca, I mean, it had a knotted cord on it, and you could tell what was in it by reading the knots. But I mean, the knot heads that are trying to Republican Party now. I mean, they're trying to pull this. Say, well, you know, I don't know about records. It's just utter nonsense that they think, well, we didn't need to keep records, or we didn't, you know, that, and we destroyed these records. Robin Voss should be well aware of open records and requirements for that, because they were all over state employees back when Act 10 passed. If state employees were supposed to maintain any records of emails they got from this, that, and the other thing, or if they tried to send something off with using their email to union officials, you know, over Act 10, that they, you know, the Republicans would come down on both feet of them for that. I mean, so it's just utter nonsense. I mean, that, and there should be, and the judge should have said, no, this is not coming out of the taxpayers' fund. It's coming out of Gableman's hide, and it's coming out of Robin Voss's hide, or the Republican Party's hide, because it was a Republican Party service that they were doing for this fraudulent audit they were supposedly doing. And they didn't do any audit. They didn't find anything. I mean, Gableman sat on his ass in a library studying how the state elections work in Wisconsin. I mean, it is just utterly ridiculous that the taxpayers are paying for this, and but the judge made the right decision saying that, you know, pinning their ears back. But I mean, the taxpayers should not be paying it. It should be for the Republican Party and for the guy who claims to be inspiration point that, you know, posits things, oh, you know, that this is stupid when you say something like this. Well, point, I mean, that if you had any real courage at all, you'd be using your right name when you're posting stuff on the Devil's Advocate site rather than sniping behind your daddy's favorite spot, which is kind of pirated from the show Happy Days, the makeout spot on Happy Days. So,
well, Mark, you're hitting some very good points. I don't know why I'm laughing. You know, $1 million is a lot of money, 98 grand. I think you're right. I think that the order very well could have been, all right, Voss and Gableman, you each have to pay half of 98 grand. Now, they would have appealed that, and that would have been paid for by the taxpayers. And at some point, she knows that the Wisconsin Supreme Court is Republican, and it just would have ginned up more fees. That's what happens when you get a guy doing bad things who is a speaker of a illegitimate gerrymandered legislature with his hand on the money. You know, they didn't put it in as an appropriation because Evers would have vetoed it. But why are taxpayer money out there just a slush fund, a piggy bank, for them to do what they want politically without a veto by Evers? That's wrong. I mean, one reform that I think any conservative should go along with is you shouldn't be able to dip into the piggy bank. You shouldn't have, like, you know, this budget is well over $70 billion for 2 year biennial budget. You know, it's going to be approaching $80 billion, $90, and then more than that. You cannot have the majority party speaker just say, I'm going to dip into it. That has to be reviewed. That has to be reviewed legally, which involves a veto here. And it has to be transparent. And they've just dipped into it for over $1 million. Now they're dipping into it for a fine of $98,000 for violating the open records laws. They're dipping into it. And they're dipping into it and grabbing money out of it. And it's over $1 million now. And they're dipping into it for stupid things. Why should the mayor of Green Bay and Madison go to prison? Well, Boston Gableman say he should go to prison because he didn't agree to secret deposit, or they didn't, I should say, agree to secret depositions in Voss, in Gableman's Brookfield, Wisconsin hideaway with no press allowed. And the mayor of Green Bay and Madison go, well, the statute says the legislature can do it, not Gableman. If they want to appoint Gableman as their spokesperson, fine, as their lawyer. But he has to do it in front of a legislative committee where the TV cameras can come and see what they're up to. For that dispute, you have paid tens of thousands of dollars in legal fees where they're trying to get them to throw the two mayors in jail. That's not right. That really isn't right. And there are three more cases pending like this. You know, I think if there has to be a basic law, and I don't care if it affects Democrats or Republicans, do not let the speaker of the majority party dip into the money. There has to be reviewed. It has to be reviewed by auditors, and it has to be, frankly, subject to veto and that kind of thing. But here, you don't even know how much he's grabbing out. He has too much access. We're going to break. The lines are open. Do not hang up. I see you. You're on the line. I'll get to you right after the break. 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break. Matt Flynn, director. Lines are open. 844-967-2789. We're going right to the lines. Gene and Beauclair, my friend. Thanks for calling. What's your mind today, Gene?
Great show, as usual. I have to say that, fascism isn't coming in on cat's paws. It's coming in like a steamroller, and it's right in front of our faces, and if people don't open their goddamn eyes now and get their butts out to vote these people out, because fascism, you know, creeped in Wisconsin a long time ago. And it came in on the backs of Koch brothers and Alec and the gang that got the bucks. And this isn't just politics like usual. If you guys think that this is politics like usual, you better wake up, because you don't have time to do anything about it. You know, I watched yesterday, and you know, we can call the Republicans, oh, you know, they do one thing and they say one thing and do another. No, it's worse than that. They effing lie. They lie, 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 lie. They do not care about people. It is so obvious. Yesterday when I watched those poor bats out there giving a talk on what just happened in our federal government that slammed the vets in the face, I cried. I thought, these people are suffering. They're dying. They were doing burn pits. If they were healthy before that. Now they're not. They're suffering like a son of a gun. One lady was a mother to a vet, and her son was puking and having all kinds of trouble because of his exposures, and just sicker than, just sick. And his wife was going to have a baby, and he died. Just a horrifying death. Wake up, folks, a horrifying death. And then she had to carry the baby that they knew was dead, and when the baby came, it was so deformed, they didn't even know, you know, they couldn't even identify all of the things that were wrong with it, you know, by pathogen tests and different kinds of things that they have, you know, that they look at tissues and things. I cried. I thought, what the, you know what is going on? Well, you got Ron Johnson, that scumbag. And in addition to that, and I'm sorry to use such terms, but I can't think of anything else. You know, they're lower than the lowest creatures in this earth. They're just putrid. So then, you know, they're voting on some legislation to permit and to fund some studies on what's happening to some people with COVID, that it's affecting them neurologically after they've had COVID, and some brain issues, cognition issues. Who's voting against it? Johnson. Johnson, the guy that you guys just love, Republicans. Wake up. These people don't care about you. I'm sorry, can I just finish real quick? They don't care one iota. Not at all. Look at their voting record. I started to go through some of those people from the state of Wisconsin's voting record, Tiffany and those guys. Take a look, folks. It's real easy to do. You go to roll call, you look up those representatives' votes, and you see how they don't represent you. I'm sorry, man, I'm on a roll, but them vets, heart just cried.
Great. Gene, thanks for calling in. I love your passion, and I want to say what Gene is referring to is that a bill that passed with over 80 votes back in June, but as a revenge thing that the Republicans are doing to take revenge on Biden and Schumer, they're really stabbing America in the back and veterans, not Biden and Schumer. They then turned around when they had the one final vote on it, and they 49 of them, let's see, they gave 9 votes to bust the filibuster, but not 10. So they let 9 Republicans virtue signal to their people in moderate states, and everybody else voted against it. They operate as a wolf pack. They operate as a group. And so vets, as a result, the funding to treat their COPD and lung cancer, and, you know, is out the window for toxic pits, you know. And you know, they go, okay, well, I don't see a bullet in your shoulder, so how do you say that it was related to an injury that was in combat? Well, because I was tending these toxic burn pits and with this and that. It's happening to too many of them to be a coincidence. And besides that, Gene just shared a tragic story about a mom's son who died a painful death. And then the little baby, her grandson, the son's child, was born with many complications. I've known a few people who have died of COPD, and it is a horrible death. It's not a quick death. And dying, not being able to breathe, initially you get oxygen, and then you're trying to suck on a tube. It's a terrible, terrible way to die. And these are combat veterans. It's not right. I mean, you know, we're an affluent society. We should be providing medical care for COPD and lung cancer to vets who are exposed to toxic burn pits. The one thing, Gene, I'll disagree with you on, the group that took over the Milwaukee Bucks is a good group. Milwaukee Bucks, you know, Herb Kohl sold it to these guys, and there's a couple of them. Aaron Rodgers actually has a slice. I think he has 1% of the Bucks. But they brought a championship back to Milwaukee. You know, Milwaukee only has 590,000 people in the city and 1 million in the county. And yet we have the Brewers, and we have the world champion Bucks 2 years ago. The Brewers always come close to getting into the World Series. The Packers at one time played half their games, their home games in Milwaukee. So I'm very proud of that, very proud of Wisconsin. And this is it really is a good group. And I think they're gonna be able to keep the Bucks in Wisconsin. Herb did it heroically by himself. He bought them back in the mid-80s. And these guys spent a lot of money. I mean, Giannis Antetokounmpo has a very large contract, just like Aaron Rodgers. And frankly, they deserve it. It's a free market. And these guys, these guys deliver, and they get a lot of viewers, and so it's all good. But anyway, everything else that Gene said is terrific. It's absolutely right. And the Republican Party, and by the way, Ron Johnson did vote against giving medical care to combat vets who have COPD and lung cancer. He voted against it. So it's too much money. Are you kidding me? Do you know what kind of money they've been funneling? I said yesterday about this outfit. They gave $219 million in various states because they contributed $1 million to the Republican Party to charge government $235 a test for COVID. When the average is $125, and I know very well Milwaukee, you can go in a drugstore and get it for $79. So, you know, don't give me this, well, you know, if it's to go to anybody else, no, they can't have it. But if it's to go to one of our donors or industry or whatever, it's okay. That's really what's going on. It's just not right. It's truly not right. And Jean also in the past, and I think she agrees with me, why should we pay Gay Woman's fine of $98,000, the taxpayers? Why should I pay that? Why should Gene pay it? Why should you pay it? Why are we paying anything? Why are we letting Voss stick his hands in the till without any oversight? None. No audit oversight? The governor? Nobody. Going to break. Lines are open. 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break.
Invested $15 million and he's going to drop out a couple weeks before the end of the race because some pollsters say, well, you're behind. I mean, I would not trust the pollsters. I would not trust the establishment. I mean, these are the same geniuses that plowed $90 million into Kentucky to Amy McGrath. She had already lost a House seat. All the momentum was with Charles Booker, especially after George Floyd. That was her best shot to take McConnell out. They plowed $90 million into McGrath's campaign. She's a neoliberal candidate. There wasn't much contrast between her and Mitch McConnell, and she lost the election by 20 points. So I was, like, just shocked and surprised that Lazzari, after making all that investment, wouldn't take it to the election and actually let people vote. I don't think we're doing any favors by people dropping out and calling races before they're actually voted on. All we're doing is, you know, maybe suppressing the vote that's going to make it to the general. And then the other thing we're going to do is we're going to give the Republicans a chance to zero in on their attack ad sooner, you know, a few weeks sooner than they would be otherwise, not knowing that the candidate is. So that's just my two cents on it. It's frustrating when this happens. So,
yeah, Robert, very good comments. Thank you. I want to build on that and then get to the lines. Don't anybody hang up. And a couple of things. I mean, Vice is a gossip columnist. I mean, you know, so you got to understand that that's not journalism. That's like, you know, a gossip columnist for politics instead of for celebrities, because we're a little short on celebrities in Wisconsin and in Milwaukee. However, I will say this, and I said this on the air yesterday. I know all these candidates, and Mandela Barnes is a very fine guy. He'd be a great senator, and I think he can beat Ron Johnson. Sarah Godlewski is a great person. I know her. And she'd be a great senator and can beat Ron Johnson. Alex Lazzari was a great guy, is a great guy, could have beaten Ron Johnson. Same with Tom Nelson. And frankly, we have a couple of others. Steve Olcara is a very fine guy. And I'll tell you what, there are many, many other fine guys in the, or people, I should say, in this race. However, you know, there are eight candidates, by the way. However, now Lazzari and Nelson have dropped out. They both endorsed Mandela Barnes. What I said yesterday, I'll say again. There's a concept in poker called the chip in a chair. As long as you're at the table in a chair and you have one chip left, you're still in the game. And, you know, Sarah Godlewski now, I don't know where Lazzari's votes go. I don't know where Nelson's votes goes. You know, we have other candidates. Peter Pekarsky is a very fine candidate. Peter Pekarsky has a degree in electrical engineering from MIT. And would be an excellent senator on anything having to do with arms control, climate change, weapons systems, cryptography, you know, all of that stuff. So you got to sort of pay attention to all these people. That said, right now, Mandela Barnes is ahead in the polls, and now Sarah Godlewski will be second. I've been in enough horse races where sometimes the lead horse wins and sometimes the one behind him wins. So I'm not endorsing in that race on this air. I want people to be encouraged to get out and vote. And you should also know, there's a thing called spoiling your ballot. If you voted for Lazarus Nelson and now want to vote again, there's a phone number you can call, and you can call them. They'll return your ballot to you, believe it or not. They can figure that out. And it's what's called spoiled, so you can't, and then you can revote. I don't necessarily countenance that. I'll tell you why. The very few people who would do something like that are going to have virtually no impact. In fact, it will have no impact on the election. I think it's far better to just, well, you know, you got to deal with what you deal. You got to play the cards as dealt. You're saying playing poker and you have a busted flush, that's what you're dealt. You have four aces, that's what you're dealt. Well, in this particular case, you have now six candidates left. You used to have eight. You have six candidates. And the two front runners, Mandela Barnes is ahead in the polls, and then Sarah Godlewski, and then you have Steve Bolicara, you have Peter Pekarsky, and a couple of others. And these are all serious people. Look them up. Go online, Google them. And because the thing is, the more you're involved, the more you radiate enthusiasm, the more you communicate that to your family and friends, that has a spillover effect. So, you know, Bice has the right to publish anything he wants, but he's a gossip columnist. And for politics, which is, you know, our reservoir of celebrities in this state, and that's fine. You know, a lot of people love reading this stuff. And so what he thinks, and I've not seen that opinion piece today yet, by the way, and I certainly will look at it, but I strongly encourage you, get out and support whatever candidate you want. Going back to the lines, Dick of Madison, you're next, my friend. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind today, Dick?
The two front runners for governor on the Republican side, if the Democrats don't do this, you know that old one that Biden said about Rudy Giuliani when it comes to 9/11, a noun, a verb, 9/11? Well, the same thing with these people. The Democrats, a noun, a verb, Foxconn. Both of them. She was the big cheerleader right there under Walker. And now we got this guy that's going to get a raise. That's getting $30,000+ a month overseeing that project, which is nothing. Right. Then you got Michaels, who lines up for Luth to do the infrastructure stuff. I thought you guys were against corporate welfare. You know, right. He's a clown, in my opinion. And so is she. And I would, Scott Roth, I remember him saying this about Walker when he ran against Evers, that be careful of Foxconn because it could be a huge albatross around your neck. I think it proved to be, and I think it will again. Just point out to the people of this state how much it's cost us and right. Still costing.
Right. Now, Dick's bringing up some very, very key issues. Let me tell you something. When you go into the voting booth on August 9, you can only vote in one primary. And that, of course, I'm going to vote in the Democratic primary. So maybe you will too, maybe you won't. But you can only vote Democratic or Republican up and down the line in that primary. That's if you vote in both, then your ballot's disqualified. But it's an open primary. That means that you don't have to register to do it. In a lot of states, you'd have to be on a list saying you're a Democrat or Republican. That's not true in Wisconsin. We fought, when I was party chairman, they tried to strip us of it. I fought it, and then it went to the Wisconsin Supreme Court. And in any event, the National Party relented. So that's the deal. However, what Dick is pointing out is there is a Republican primary for governor, and the two leaders there are Tim Michaels and the Duchess of Foxconn. The Duchess, Rebecca Clayfish, the Duchess was lieutenant governor to Scott Walker. She was his cheerleader. And they, both of them, don't have any enough business sense between their ears to blow their brains out. I mean, they go, oh, a Chinese company. Well, that must be good. I'm not sure why. Coming to this state, we'll give them $4 billion. That way, we insure their losses. We socialize their losses, but they get to privatize their profits. Yeah, that sounds like capitalism. It sure does. Okay, and then we burn through $1 billion, and these guys are scam artists. And they go, we're going to do big screen TVs. No small screen TVs. No toasters. No electric cars. No, we're just going to be a consulting group. So some companies in Wisconsin went to them and they said, turn over all your intellectual property to us. And they said, no. We got scammed because of the Republicans. We got scammed, and the Duchess still pushes it. Then you might go, oh, then I'll go for Michaels. That is a fraud. Michaels' company made millions of dollars, a lot of money, working on Foxconn. Prepare the site, roads, and everything for Foxconn. And he initially said he was for Foxconn in this campaign. He's going to make it work. Then we go on the air and blast him, and we're not alone. And he goes, no, now I'm against it. He's not going to be against it. He still is going to own the stock of Michaels' company. What, Michaels is going to turn down work at Foxconn? No. So whatever happens, whoever comes out of the Republican primary is up against Evers. Evers so far has vetoed a lot of bills that had to be vetoed. They had to be vetoed. They are voting bills to repress the voting, a lot of other bills. They had to be vetoed. Now, that's like a goalie. A goalie doesn't score a lot of goals. So goalie skates up and down, just keeping goals away. Because of lame duck, that's the way we're reduced to in this state. But if Michaels or Clayfish get nominated, one of them will. You know, this Ramphin is a guy that kind of, you know, suddenly he pops out of the shadows and with those eyes, my God almighty. And then he goes, I'm going to do some things. Okay, yeah. I think that he's the guy, by the way, that had made either a QAnon reference or showed some sympathy to some phrase or something. Look, this guy's not going anywhere. He's not going anywhere. But he came across in the debate as more sincere because the guy is absolutely out to lunch. I mean, absolutely out to lunch. He may do a little better than people think. But one of these characters get nominated, you got to get out in November. Whoever the nominee is for Senate from us against Ron Johnson, you got to vote for our nominee, in my opinion. And you got to vote for the governor over the Duchess of Foxconn, Michaels, or Ramphin. That's essential. So all this business about who you like in this primary or that primary is all interesting. But when push comes to shove, we're going to have a united team in November. We're going to a break. The lines are open, 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break. To Matt Flynn, director. Lines are open, 844-967-2789. We'll go to the lines in order. Don't hang up. Neil of Madison, you're first, my friend. Thanks for calling. What's your mind, Neil of Madison?
Hi, Dave. Okay, question. With the DOJ seemingly going, you know, really plodding along and not really moving too quick on anything, does the District of Columbia have a DA, and couldn't they bring charges against Trump?
You mean the District of Columbia, the U.S. attorney?
Yes,
sorry. Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. Yeah, this is a little known fact, and that's an excellent question. I'm going to throw it out to you right now. Who can bring criminal charges? Any prosecutor can if the offense was conducted within their jurisdiction. So, for instance, in New York, any federal charges could be brought by a U.S. attorney. It could be brought by the Manhattan DA. It could be brought by Garland. They've gotten Trump on state charges there initially, so it was the Manhattan DA did it, and then civilly the Attorney General of New York, and then Letitia James, and then the Manhattan DA took a dive. He got elected, and he said, I think somebody got to the guy, and he dropped the charges against Trump. In D.C., that's where the insurrection took place, and it's federal. Therefore, Merrick Garland could go after him. You're absolutely right. Or the U.S. attorney could go after him. D.C. has a U.S. attorney, just like Milwaukee has a U.S. attorney. Madison has a U.S. attorney. Chicago has a U.S. attorney. Either one, absolutely. In Georgia, you have Fannie Willis, the district attorney of Fulton County. She's just a DA in a county, a state DA. And she's going after Trump, and she's going after the fake electors and convene a grand jury. She's the only one in the country. The only one. The only one. Here in Wisconsin. Fake electors. two people can go against him. This is, in my view, Merrick Garland can go elect against him. The U.S. attorney in Madison could go against him. The DA in Madison, in my view, could go against him. Nobody's going against him. They're all deferring to Merrick Garland. Merrick Garland's sitting back. So all around the country, this is the way it is, Neil. These prosecutors can prosecute any crime or investigate any crime that occurred in their jurisdiction. And frequently there's overlapping jurisdiction. And sometimes there's even overlapping state and federal jurisdiction because there are state offenses and federal offenses. So your precise question is D.C.? Absolutely. Absolutely. But the District of Columbia U.S. attorney, I think, is so close to the Department of Justice because they're sitting in the same city, basically, that they're sitting back and looking at what the Department of Justice is going to do. And I think, quite frankly, people are concerned. They're concerned about violence. They're concerned about another insurrection. They're concerned about, you know, if you prosecute Trump, you know, what will happen in terms of dividing the country. I have a better comment. What will happen if we don't prosecute Trump? This will happen again with you 100%. Thanks for calling. Next one up, Gary of Sussex, my friend. You're next. Thanks. What's on your mind today, Gary of Sussex?
I got a question. With the vote with the veterans, there were 41 Republicans that voted against it. And then there was one Democrat. Are you familiar with the Democrat that went around, along with Ron Johnson and the other 40 senators? Do you know who that one?
Are you talking about the CHIPS bill or are you talking about the veterans bill?
I'm talking about the veterans bill.
Okay, yes. Yeah, so
there were
ahead.
41. There were 41 Republicans.
Okay.
And then there was one Democrat.
Okay.
And do you know who the one Democrat was?
And who do you think that was?
It was Chuck Schumer.
Okay.
Okay.
What's your, point?
The point is that everybody's ripping, especially Gene. Go ahead.
Yeah, no. Here's the deal, Gary, just so you understand. The Republicans tanked the bill to get medical care for veterans. When the leader of the other side votes to against it, that is a procedural tactic that permits the leader to say, I voted against it in the future. Now I'm for it. I asked for another vote. That's nothing more than a procedural tactic. Thanks for calling. Bill of Oconomowoc, my friend. Thank you for calling. What's in your mind today? Bill of Oconomowoc.
Thanks, Matt, and as always, a great show. You know, I think we can move past Trump. I think Trump is a done deal, and I'll tell you why. Fox News has jettisoned him. They're against him. They're not even supporting him anymore. So what do we have to do right here in our state on your station? We have to call and get active to support Tony Evers against the Duchess of Foxconn and Tim, I like Trump, Michaels. And then the other guy, don't worry about because he's so off the wall, he doesn't have a snowball's chance in hell to make it. But the rest do. We've got to question them. Rebecca, I want to know what you're going to do about Foxconn. Let's go down and meet with the people in Mount Pleasant and see what they think. She will avoid that like the plague. And Tim Michaels, he got the kiss of death from toxic Donald Trump. If he's supported by Trump, and Trump is not going to be a problem, actually he's going to be an asset for us because it's going to cause so much infighting in the Republican Party, they're going to lose their strength. So I guess my question today is, who do we call to see that people are prosecuted in our state for false electors? I'll hang up and listen to your reply.
Yeah, thank you. In terms of who you call, you know, it's not like, say, calling the power company to tell them that your power has been knocked out by a rainstorm. Prosecutors do not have to take direction from people. They have ethical obligations on how they look at cases, the evidence they have, and so forth. On the other hand, you have a First Amendment right to petition the government. That's in the First Amendment itself. And so you have the right to make it clear, and you can write in a letter to the editor, or you can call the U.S. Attorney's Office, the Attorney General's Office. You can call the Department of Justice. You can call Merrick Garland in Washington. You're not going to get through, but you'll get somebody. You can call the Attorney General here, Josh Call in Madison. You can call the District Attorney in Madison. You can call a U.S. Attorney in Madison. And you can simply say, look, I'm a citizen, I'm a voter, and I think that the fake electors should be prosecuted. And they're very likely to say thank you. I think it's probably unlikely that they're going to put you through, Bill, to talk to any of these people. But sometimes the volume of calls that come in can have an effect. In other words, if they get, you know, hundreds of calls on something, it goes in one direction and just a handful in the other, people get the message. And this one, another way of doing it, is we have small newspapers around the state. Random Lake, we have the Random Lake Sounder. That's where my folks have, and now my brother have lived for almost 60 years. Random Lake Sounder, a lot of good little papers. Write a letter to the editor. They'll print anything for these papers. Say, I think the fake electors should be prosecuted. Just that. Okay? That builds up. You call into radio shows like this one. Try calling into a conservative radio station. You probably won't get on the air. They are not like us. They're not open-minded and let folks dial, call in. But you might get on the air and just say, initially, I think the fake electors should be prosecuted. The more that gets out there, the better. And that's a very, very good point. Thanks very much, Bill. By the way, you know, I have a theory about authoritarians, and one of the things they like to do is insult and bully verbally, and a certain slice of the population thinks that's strength. Now, Donald Trump has been insulting Schiff, Congressman Schiff of California, ever since the impeachment hearing that, or a trial that Schiff presided over. And he, in his text when he was president, would spell Schiff, which is spelled S-C-H-I-F-F with two T's instead of two F's. So it was S-C-H-I-T-T. And he thought that was funny. Well, the other day, he gave a statement. He was asked, he said, quote, Adam Schiff is an evil person, quote, a sick person. His head is shaped like a watermelon. And he's quite unattractive, quite an unattractive man. A month ago, he said, Schiff is a pencil neck. Now, that's grade school stuff. You might say that in the fifth grade, the fourth grade. In middle school, you get over it. It's because of a nasty thing. And Schiff came back and said, well, he laughed. He said, my wife says I'm very handsome. And that's cool in a way. However, when you have nothing but a string of invectives and insults from Trump, and the only response is my wife thinks I'm handsome, and of course, you know, that's a nice little joke. If he continues to call people sick, evil, watermelon heads, pencil necks, there's a certain unattractive, there's a certain kind of person. Matt Gaetz questioned the physical appearance of a woman who is for abortion rights. Joe Biden is handling it well. He went on and gave a speech after the last January 6th commission hearing, and he said the defeated President Donald Trump didn't have the courage to stand up to the mob about to assassinate Mike Pence. That's the kind of talk we need. And you throw in words like defeated and didn't have courage. You accuse the other guy of not having courage. And he did it in a gentlemanly way so nobody could look at it and go, well, he's getting down in the gutter with him. But if you can't have one guy calling one of our leaders a pencil neck, a watermelon head, unattractive, evil, and sick, and have no response. Now, we don't get down in the gutter. We don't say something like, hey, when he said there was a 400-pound guy in the basement somewhere hacking into the elections, you don't go, well, he was talking about himself. We don't say stuff like that. But I really like the fact that Biden is standing up to him now and using words like defeated and so on. Coming to the end of the show, great show. Great call-ins, as always. Have a great weekend, everybody. Matt Flynn, direct. We'll be back same time, same place on Monday.
He starts to roam the streets at night, and he learns how to steal, and he learns how to fight in the ghetto.